plate a potential nugget.
The other piece you talk about, Sukhinder, is you say that sometimes we think about taking risks only once we know for sure what we want to do, but actually risk taking is a way of seeing what makes sense, right? It's an opportunity to discover what we might like and where we are good at. Can you talk a little bit about risk as a discovery process?
Sure. I think that the world has trained people to believe you need to have a perfect plan before you have, quote unquote, the right to act. Which I think is somewhat ridiculous. It's sort of like people want to make a choice without having maximized their choices. Does that make, and so I was like, well, if you think that risk-taking begins when you have to make a choice, I would say that's actually the riskiest move of all. Don't you want to take risks to discover what your choices are? And it's ironic because, you know, if you look at the, you and I take it you didn't go to college in the United States, right? And I didn't either. But when I watch the process of discovery children take in the United States to maximize their college choices, it's like the art of risk taking. Yet no other time do they do that, right? They're like, they apply to safety schools. They apply to the most prestigious schools. They apply for course X. They apply for course Y. They do it all in parallel. It's like beautiful. But yet when it comes to any other major choice in our life, we're like, I don't have time to look. Somebody just offered me this opportunity. Should I say yes? And then we somehow, you know, reverse ourselves and we take these big risks, like a one out of one risk. So I always think risk taking for discovery is one of the best sets of risks to take. You're just putting, you know, putting out feelers, using little swaths of your time and energy to even discover all the things that might be possible before you make one choice. So I think of risk taking as maximizing choices even before we choose which risk to take.
And you also talk about the notion of choice after a choice while making a decision. I found that phrase interesting. Can you talk a little bit about what you mean by that and how that can help us make better decisions?
Sure. Well, in the book, I have this kind of very basic formula that I certainly had in my mind that I think is a simple way to think about whether or not we're going to get into action on a new choice. I call it FOMO over fear. You'll act. Fear over FOMO, you won't. So people say, what does that mean? I'm like, well, when we visualize a positive, we have the fear of missing out on a new opportunity. That's often what's galvanizing us to take action towards a new choice. But standing in our way is our fear of failure, right? And so it's very clear. If the size of your fear of failure is greater than the size of your FOMO, no matter how big your FOMO, your kind of positive visualization, if the fear is even bigger, you just won't act. And if the reverse is true, you're likely to get into action. So most people think, well, I'll just visualize the positive. I'll just visualize the positive. For me, visualizing the positive alone is not that comfortable. For me, I like to pre-mortem and say, okay, how do I size appropriately the fear I have right now so I can shrink it? Or actually, quite frankly, just put it in context. So I always say with any choice you're contemplating, think about the choices after the choice to fail. Just think about the failure state. Pre-mortem it, not postmortem, pre-mortem it and say, okay, if I made this choice and it fails, what happens then? And if you have many choices after the choice, chances are it's not a big risk, right? Like you should size down your fear of failure because if you can imagine the many choices and even say, what would I do in all these worst case scenarios? If many are available to you, it's probably a smaller size risk than you think. For me, that not only helps me, shrink in my head the size of risk to its actual size, but it also gives me the comfort to act because once I know that I have thought through the failure state and I have 4, 5, 6 choices of what I could or should do or would be available to me, I actually feel some control over, my ability to respond to any situation. And then I actively feel less failure, fear of failure. So that's what we call the choice after the choice, which is like look through the choice that fails that you fear so much, look through to the failure state. And ask yourself how many choices you still have available. And if the answer is a lot, that should give you the comfort you need to act.
It's interesting that even in the way you look at the worst case scenario, it's not so much about the payoffs, but it's about the pathways that it generates. So even there, you frame it as a lookout for possibility as a way of making a decision rather than focusing on the payoff.
I think so. Because I think unfortunately or fortunately, living in Silicon Valley, and here I do see that you don't know which choice is going to pay off. Like you can never take 100% of the uncertainty out of any indicator. What we can do is make educated guesses. And of course, I make very educated guesses about risk. But what we can't do is know exactly which one's going to pay off. And this is why thinking through the possibilities, even of the downside case, is something that gives me comfort.
This is a very interesting point that Sukhinder makes. If I look at the world of careers from my vantage point, I notice that some of the initial choices are often off the shelf. It's like going to a supermarket and picking something off the rack. College placements are a classic case in point, where a bunch of companies show up to campus and then you have a dating process that matches the companies and the students. As we get more senior, I realize that we often need to cook these options to create the pathways for ourselves. Very often, I see people being too busy whatever they're doing and not having the time to create these pathways. The one category of risks I might shine the light on in this context is interpersonal risks. I realize that as we become senior, we need to be able to be comfortable taking these interpersonal risks. The metaphor I use with people is that waiting for a search consultant call and responding to that is a bit like standing on the bus stop and boarding the first or the second bus that comes your way. As you become more senior, the pathways that emerge through the weak links and some of those connections are often significantly undercooked. The other realization I've had is that sometimes close connects don't quite yield the new opportunities that we seek, because very often their networks and our networks are broadly similar, but with weak links, the overlap area of the two circles in the Venn diagram is much smaller, and hence we widen the surface area of opportunity that could be relevant for us. Thank you for listening.